easy now. Title of our message, we're getting, this is the next to the last sermon that we'll be doing in this great book. I know it's kind of sad. I've had a wonderful time going through Romans and studying through the book of Romans. And the title of our message, as you see on the screen, is Having a Pulse for People. Having a Pulse for People. And we'll flesh that out in just a minute. But I want us to think about that. Let's stand to our feet. We won't read all the scriptures for 1 through 24, but we'll read the first couple just to reference God's Word. I hope you have a Word of God with you on a phone or wherever, and the seat back in front of you is one. You want to make sure that you're following along with your pastor and making sure that he's preaching the whole counsel of God. And so we always want to do that. The Word of God says in Romans 16:1, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Father, I pray for just a few moments, God, that you'll be glorified through the preaching of your word. Hide me behind your cross. May your word go forth for your glory. In Christ's name and all God's people said, you may be seated. Chapter 15, we saw Paul's mission mindset, how he had a heart to reach those that hadn't heard the gospel. Last week we studied about the anatomy of his heart and how he saw himself as this priest that offered up the souls of the Gentiles unto the Lord. That was his offering to God, these people that were coming to know the Lord. And we saw that he saw his whole life as just credit. Everything that he did was for Christ's glory and for his sake. And then we saw last Sunday how he had that heart that dreamed. Remember, he dreamed big dreams. He wanted to get to Spain, and it wasn't about whether he made it to Spain or not, but it was the journey and following the Lord. And then we saw that he had a praying heart, that he prayed, and he even asked him. He said, hey, I beg you that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. We all need those kind of prayers. We need people that are praying for us at all time. And so we saw Paul's heart. Now, I want you to know something this morning that I was studying this. Think about, and here we are in October of 2017 studying this great book. Paul's heart outlasted the Roman Empire. Something of such magnitude, his heart. Here we are studying 2017 and finding the relevance for today. This word will stand forever. I want you to know that. This forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. In eternity to come, you will see God's word. That's something to think about, isn't it? And so when we see these names that are mentioned, you know, there's no minuscule people when it comes to God and the service of God. Some of these people that you'll hear have never been, they'll just be mentioned one time in this chapter. But they were important. How important were they? It was important enough that they'll stand for eternity. The names, people that have worked and labored. I thought about the people that have worked and labored that have sit these pews before us. Many of your kin folks and moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. And that was their time to run, take the baton and run. And now is our time. And so we pray that one day there'll be a group of young people that were influenced by us in our time when we ran. And so Paul was so, listen, we see Paul's heart doctrinally. I mean, you can't look at this great book, one of the greatest book, and as we celebrate the 500 years of Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses to the Wittenberg door, October 31st, Reformation Day, 500 years. You say, well, hey, ain't a lot of people ain't clapping, but listen. It's one of the greatest things that ever happened, and we're here because of the book of Romans and because a man was willing to stand upon those principles. This was a great book that changed the world. And yet we see Paul's heart and his doctrinal things. This, as Donnie was talking about today, in the Ten Commandments, we have this vertical relationship with God, those first commandments, and then we get to the horizontal. You're going to see Paul had not only that vertical relationship with God, the great doctrines and inspired word that he penned, and we'll see that through his secretary, his amanuensis, that he was dictating this book. We'll see that in these chapter today. But through this great book, he also had this horizontal relationship also. What are you talking about? He was a people person. I love people. Why? Because Jesus does. Before I came to know Christ, I could care less about people. I mean, be honest. I don't want to. I don't want to pump anybody up, and certainly not myself. Before I came to Christ, all I cared about was myself. But when I came to know Christ, I started having a heart for people. How can a pastor ever stand before you and not care for people? God made me a people person, having a pulse for others and a love for others. And God did that. Christ did that. Myself could care less. Myself was selfish. But in Christ, He can change our hearts to where we're people. We have a pulse for people. Paul had this pulse, and we'll see that today. This heart, yes, he had a huge vertical, but he has this horizontal too. He loved people, and we'll see his heartbeat. And you think about, what is our mission statement? Thank you, Miss Sandy. Love God, love others. Our mission statement for this church. I think we're going to see that fleshed out. We are to love God. We are to love Him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, our body, our all. But also, we are to love others, love people. Why? That's Jesus' command to us, to love others. And we see Paul, he had this great love for those people that he had come in contact with. And so, I want us to think about, this is the rhythm of heaven, by the way. God loving what? He loved us so much that He did what? He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's the rhythm of heaven. Loving God, loving others. And we'll see this characteristics. I want us to look at three characteristics of having this pulse for people this morning. And first will be an affectionate love. The affectionate love that we'll see Paul when he talks about. And he begins there when he's talking about commending Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant in the church of Cenchrea, that you may receive her. Who was Phoebe? It was a lady of prominence, but most of the scholars and I myself believe that she delivered the letter. She was the one that was on her way to Rome that Paul sent the letter by. Listen, can you imagine toting, carrying the Romans, the book of Romans? To the church? I mean, look, here we are today. How big a significance does it have? We're studying it today and the Reformation, all these things that went on. She carried it to Rome. Now think about it. Ain't no telling how big it was or how rolled up or whatever, but that was her job to take it. And Paul said, hey, I commend to you Phoebe. She's coming on business, but look, she's bringing something of great importance. Can anybody say amen this morning? Who was she? Who knows? She was somebody that was important to the Lord. The Lord had a plan for her. And it could be her whole purpose and her whole plan was make sure that she got God's word to the Roman church, that a group of us old hillbillies could one day in October 2017 right here at South Fork Baptist Church could be studying and learning from it and drawing strength from it. I love how does he describe her here? He said, look, 19 times he uses the word greet. He uses that word greet, and he names off 33 names, 7 women, 2 households. It just shows Paul's personal relationship that he has with this group, this church, and we know he's not been there, and we'll get that in just a minute, because that's mind-boggling. But most of us, listen, we think of Paul as this great theologian, this great man of God that he was. Can you imagine sitting down with Paul and rubbing shoulders with him? How are you doing today, Paul? After you wrote this great book, you would feel like, I can see Peter Brandenburg say, I kind of asked you a question, Paul. And we should sit down with him because we want to mine his these depths that he had and how God had used him and asked these questions and just put it. We wouldn't even think about him being just a great people person. Just somebody that you could sit down and talk to that loved people, and you'll see that as it comes out here. He had a pulse for people. He had never been to Rome, but he had mentioned 24 people that were in Rome. I want you to think about that just for a minute. How could this be? No internet, no Facebook, no cell phones. How in the world did he know 24 people in a church thousands of miles away that he had never been to? That's amazing. That's mind-blowing. He had many mission trips. He had met countless people. He was a people person. You know what he did? He kept track of them. He cared about people. He knew where they were. Do you realize the tremendous amount of energy that it takes in his context to do that. You say, how in the world? That means every time he met somebody, he'd say, what about Phoebe? How's she doing? He would ask. And he had this mind of wanting and caring and loving for people that he kept up with them. Even though he had never been there, he knew 24 people in the Roman church. Amazing thing. And so to Paul, names were important. Do you know that that should be to us as well? We should know names, people's names. We should love them. It's important for us to remember. And to be honest with you, I suspect that the reason and the way that he kept up with the names was he probably had a prayer list. I have come to realize that when you pray for people, you remember their name. You remember them. Why? Because they're important to you and you're praying. Especially if you connect a need with that person, you remember that. And Paul probably had a prayer list, man, that he went through and called off for these people that he loved. And in that cultural context, it was no common thing that you didn't name women. Those people say, well, Paul, he was a chauvinist. We see him name 7 women here. That was completely out of context for that culture. But he saw the importance, and he even recommends Phoebe right here, a lady that's carrying that. There's not a woman in it that wrote one scripture, but there's one that carried it. You see, listen, the roles are different, but in God's eyes, man, we're all important. It doesn't matter about the gender. The roles are very different. We see biblical roles of womanhood and manhood. But we see the importance also, and we see the importance of women to Paul when he names her off and he commends her. What did he say about her? Look what he says. She's a sister. That means, hey, she was a believer, a sister in Christ. That's very important. She's a servant. She serves, man. She served the church at Sincrea. That means she was a worker and a helper that it says there. She was involved with laboring in the church and helping Paul. That's an important person that he mentions to her. And then let's just do a flyby here of the rest of them. In verses 3 and 4, who does he mention there? Priscilla and Aquila, and we hear them. We hear them come up. It's a husband and wife team. It's tent makers. We saw them show up in Corinth. And when they were run out of Rome by Claudius, run them out. And so they go to Corinth, and that's where Paul meets them. And they just have this friendship that is bond. And then after Claudius has died, they apparently went back to Rome. They went back home, just like many of us would do. Went back home. So he mentions Priscilla and Aquila. Look what he says about them. They risked their necks for me. They laid it on the line. How many people could you say risked their neck for you? It's a great couple. He goes on down. Look, verse 5. Epaphras, who was that? The first convert in Achaia or Asia. You know what Paul's doing? He remembers the first person that he led to the Lord in Asia. You remember the first person you ever led to the Lord? How important that is. And we see Paul, we see that relationship. Yeah, he's this great theologian, but he loves people. And he has this pulse for people. He goes on down in verse 7, and Andronicus and Juno, brothers, Jews. And I like what he said, hey, they were in the slammer with me. We were in prison together. You make some pretty good bonds probably in prison, don't you? When you're in there for the gospel's sake. He mentions that. Hey, they were in the slammer with me. And I like what he mentions. He says, they knew Christ before me. So they were probably an influence in his life. How important are those influences for Christ in your life? How many times do you look back and you see your road to salvation and you look back at people that you didn't think were very important at the time, but then when you come to know Christ, you see how important God put them in your life? Paul said, man, they probably prayed for him. And then in 10, Apelles, he said he's approved in Christ. Who is that? That means he's tried, he's tested, he's true. We ever hear his name again? Not in Scripture, but listen. Paul said, hey, he's tried in Christ. He's true. Can people say that about you? He's tried, true, tested. Don't miss verse 12. You might want to name your kids this one day, Tryphena and Tryphosa. We could do a song, right? Tryphena and Tryphosa. No, we won't do that. But they were probably twin sisters, twins, working for Christ. And their names, listen to what their names mean, dainty and delicate. So get this idea, dainty and delicate, but look what he says about them, please. who have labored in the Lord. That word labor is actually a word that means to the point of exhaustion. They had worked hard in the Lord, to serve in the Lord. Tryphena and Tryphosa, not mentioned again, but mentioned here. How important eternity. You make a difference. You can be making a difference now in eternity. And then he mentions verse 13, Rufus. Who's Rufus? Rufus. I remember Rufus Freight Train. I'm showing my age. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? We won't go any further than that. We had a bird dog, big English setter. We named him Rufus. When I hear Rufus, I think about one of my favorite dogs. Who was Rufus? Mark 15:21. Which Mark had written his book to Rome. Simon of Cyrene, if you remember, was the father of Rufus. You know who Simon of Cyrene was, don't you? Took the cross and carried it for Jesus on the way to Calvary. Can you imagine having a guy in your church that carried, probably had even the blood of Jesus on him literally as he went up the hill and carried the cross? And they probably said, Rufus, tell us the story your daddy told one more time. What a person to have in your church. And we see the affectionate love of Paul he had for people. His heart's open and it's exposed to us in these verses. A lot of people, you know what they do? They'll skip right over 16. Why would you do that? Why would you skip over chapter 16, in Romans? It says, it's not really got any significance. Guess what? Tryphena and Tryphosa, Apelles, Rufus, I think they'd think it's pretty significant, wouldn't they? And what about you? Your name, for Christ's sake, in the kingdom. How important is that? We see Paul's affectionate love and his heart's open and it's exposed to us. And 1 Thessalonians 2:7-8 kind of give us and show us more about Paul's heart. Listen to what he said. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own child. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives because you have become dear to us. Paul had a pulse for people, didn't he? He cared. He looked at them as all his children. He crowns this section, 1 through 16. Look what he says. Greet one another with a holy kiss. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. In that context, in that culture, that was like our handshake. It was like our handshake or hug. Hear me and hear me well. This should be the most affectionate place that you come to as far as when you come in, you feel love. Get a handshake. You get a hug if you need one. Why? Because the love of Christ should be the pulse of this place. And Christ's love was for people. So when you come here, you should feel love. I don't care if it's the first time you ever come here. You should feel the love of Christ here. Why? God's people's here. Christ is here. And so, you know what? Sometimes the church is colder than the world. Anybody say amen? You ever been to a church that's colder than the world? Sometimes it's easier to get a smile out of a sinner than it is a saint. Should never be so. Don't mean phony. Don't mean plastic. But we should be the most joyful, loving people that there is out here in this community. It means you should not be able to go anywhere and sense the joy and sense the love that you have right here when you walk in God's house. It should be that way. And so I want us to think about sometimes if we're not careful, we'll schedule and program the love right out of church. Anybody say amen? Yeah, it's just a schedule, a program. And I tell you when you're really attached to it, when something don't go by that and you get all wadded up. You know what I mean, getting wadded up. Well, right here, preacher says that we're going to be doing this at this time. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be structured, everything DC in order. But you know what? We should allow the Holy Spirit every now and then to get a hold of place and not be structured and so structured that we take the love out of it and the spirit out of it. People are important. Be a people person. Hey, first thing you're going to hear, regardless of if you're shy or not, has nothing to do with it. We're to speak out in love. Speak and remember names. Oh, I'm just shy. That has nothing to do with it. Don't say now if you're a type A person. You be that person. It says, Paul's saying, if you're a person of God and in the church, then you should be a loving person. And And we can't throw and make excuses because of, yes, we are, and we're all different. I realize that, and I'm thankful for that, by the way. If my wife talked as much as I did, good gracious, in our house, it would be chaos, would it not, Sandy? Till I run out of gas, and then I'm not fit to be around. I'm like a youngin'. If I don't eat and I don't sleep, you don't want to be around me. Okay? Simple. I'm a simple man. But listen, God puts us all together. And when you look around, what a wonderful group of people here. He puts us together for a purpose. And yes, we have different personalities, and yes, that's fine. But in Christ, we should be loving, and we should care about one another. And when something's going on with one of us, it's going on with all of us. Can anybody say amen? Whether good or bad, something going good, we should be celebrating. Something going bad, we should be praying and caring and reaching out. Be affectionate. Be kind. Look people in the eye. Give them a hug. Paul wasn't wealthy by no means when we look at wealth of the world standards. But he was wealthy. Why? He had hundreds of friends everywhere. He could name off 24 people in a place that he'd never been. Without these things, without the connection, he was wealthy. I want you to know the wealthiest people sitting in this room this morning are the ones that have a heart like Paul. That care and love and have friends everywhere. Because when you get to the end, that's the only thing that matters, isn't it? What you've done for Christ and the people that you've influenced for his sake. And Paul, he was wealthy in having friends because he had affectionate love. But secondly, he had protective love. Look at verses 17 through 20 when it says, now he lists off Greek and lists off all these people. And he says, now I urge you, brethren, note those, here's our memory verse, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not deserve the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who do such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Is what he's saying. He served herself. And by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the Lord of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You know what? The context of our memory verse is not, now he's not talking about the non-essentials that we call. We have people that have preferences and all. He's not talking about people that you don't get along with or the same preferences. He's talking about doctrinal issues. What do you mean, Pastor, that don't stand on the Word of God? This is our standard. Can anybody say amen this morning? This is our standard. This has nothing to do with my preferences. It does have nothing to do with my feelings. Ooh, I just feel that way. If it doesn't line up here, this is what we stand on, the Word of God. And that's what we must do. And so when people are not speaking the Word of God, he says avoid them. When they're trying to cause division in a church over doctrinal issues, things that are substantial, things that are essential, when people are telling you there's another way to heaven besides Jesus Christ, you know what you do? You say, that's not true. I love you, but in Jesus' name, the gospel, and you can share the gospel, but then you know what he says? Don't avoid them. Why? Says you don't want to be around people that are causing division over doctrinal issues. That's the context that he gives us these things. Keep your eyes on those who cause dissension and error. There's one thing that we do not waver on. That is the Word of God. The whole counsel of God. The pure, unadulterated Word of God. It is without error. Yes. It's inspired. We don't question it. Why? Because it is the Word of God, and forever it will stand. So if you got to get that right. If you don't get that right, nothing's right. Did anybody hear me? If you don't have that right, then you tell me. You say, well, there's some truth and some untruth. Who determines that? I would like to know that. Who determines what's truth and what's not truth? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I believe it from every jot, every tittle. I believe it's the Word of God, inspired, inerrant, and we stand upon that. When people try to go against it, that's when division comes and error comes. The fix to our world is the Word of God in Jesus Christ. The standard is here. If we make our standard the Word of God, then we don't have half the problems that we have. And so the context of this, our memory verse, was you avoid them. Why do we avoid them? They're not serving the Lord. What are they serving? Their own belly. It's all about them. We all know charlatans. We've seen that, have we not, since the 80s? Good gracious. People that got on, you send me a $10 and God will give you a $100. Is that the way? Show me scripture and verse, please. Oh, look, you just believe. You have faith and God will give you what? Houses and cars and all these things. Is that what the scripture is about? No, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the wealth that we get through a relationship with Him, with God the Father. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, will God provide for you? He will take care of you, I promise you that. He might not give you all your wants, but He'll meet your needs. Our problem is our wanters hung up, not our needs. Our wanters are hung up. Keep yourself pure, is what he's saying, separated. Keep yourself pure in the Word. How do I know if it's pure Word, then I know what it says? In counterfeits, those of you who work in the bank, when you're people are trying to always print money in their basement, right, trying to get it past you. Do they give you all this fake money to study whenever it's counterfeit? No. They give you the real thing, and you learn the real thing in such a way that when you see something that's not real, you know what it is and you identify it. You've got to know the real Word. You've got to know God's Word. And when something's not right, you know it right away. Why? Because you know it. You've been with the real thing so long, you've felt it, you've tasted it, you've put it to use, you've worked with it, and when somebody says something that doesn't line up with it, you know it right off, don't you? Counterfeit. He's saying, know these things. Be protected. If I ask you, whose place is it? Whose place is it to protect the body against attacks inside and out? All of us. It's our place. And lastly, we got protective love, but contagious love. Contagious love. You say, what are you talking about? Look at what verses 21, 24 is we're finishing up. He says, Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius and Jasus, and Sosipater, my countrymen, greet you, and I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church, greet you, and Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greet you, and Quartus, a brother, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. What do you mean, contagious love? See what's happening in these wonderful verses, 21 through 24? Paul is running through a list of names of his brothers and sisters who are there with him in Gaius' house as he's dictating this letter to the Roman church, to Tertius, his amanuensis or his secretary. He's dictated, he's writing it down, and everybody else is listening. What's happening? You see, they feel this heart that's overflowing with these brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what they start saying? Hey, tell them I said hello. Tell them I said, send my greeting. Timothy, Lucius, Jason, Sosipater, all these. They're surrounded by Paul, and it's getting contagious around there. Boy, would to God that it would get contagious around here. You say, what? A heart that's so on fire for Jesus and loved each other that, hey, you just want to be around those people. You ever been around that people that's like that? You just want, why? Maybe something will rub off on me. Being contagious. Are you a contagious person? Our mission statement, love God and love others, it's for us to be around people, to love people, and it's contagious. Have Christ in you and that hope of glory and to love people and to reach out from people. That's a contagious heart. Do you have that contagious heart? So sad. There's thousands of people that die every year that are never identified in this country. See, that's no family, no friends. This is a lonely world we live in. A lot of lonely people. Might be somebody that's lonely right here in this room in the midst of a crowd. You can have loneliness. You realize there was a survey done and over 40% of the people that were in church said the reason that they were there was because a friend or a neighbor took an interest in them and invited them to go. 40% of the church, almost 50% said because somebody cared enough to invite me to go is the reason I'm at this church right now. How many people have you invited? Paul, with all his knowledge and great writing, would have meant very little if, think about it, if he wasn't this love of people, this love that he had for God, but this love for people that he had, to the point that he sacrificed himself. A true revolutionary heart is not just one that dreams of great things or is passionate in prayer, but it has a pulse for people that is affectionate, protective, and it's contagious. This chapter lists real people that loved and lived and went through all their troubles of this life, but are with Jesus now, and guess what? One day, I'm going to be with them. Are you? If you have this relationship with Christ and these names that might not people read over them and don't think anything about it, they meant something to God. They meant something to Paul. They meant something to the church. Are you meaning something to God? Are you meaning something to the church? Do you have a contagious heart? Applications, and we're done. Number one, Linda, come and play. How is your pulse this morning? You know how to take your pulse, right? How's your pulse? Is it for people, or is it all about yourself? Your life plays that and answers that question, by the way. Number two, do you see it's your responsibility to protect your brothers and sisters in love? We have a responsibility to love one another enough to tell each other the truth. You see somebody living in sin, you love them enough to go to them in humility and say, brother, what's going on? Sister, what's going on? Love. It's our responsibility. Lastly, do you have a heart that is contagious? People just want to be around you. Why? Because you love God and you love others. Let's stand on our feet. I'm not going to tarry long, but here's the deal. If you don't know Christ this morning, this sermon was like, it's like Chinese. Why? Because, hey, you can't love people until you love the Lord. You just can't. You know if you have Christ in your life or not. I don't talk about a mind knowledge either. I'm talking about something that's changed you. Something that's changed you. People need the Lord. Why does our nation, why is the things that are going on? People need the Lord. If you have the answer to this problem, are you sharing it? Do you care enough to say, hey, it's easy to poke fingers and make fun of different people in different areas and different places and politics and all those things, but here's the deal. Are you sharing it? Are you sharing what the Lord has given to you? Are you saying, hey, if the greatest need is Jesus, then why don't I share it? Do you really have a contagious heart? Do you really have a pulse for people? Let's close our eyes before the Lord. Do you need to do business with the Lord? Altar's open for you. Some are already here. What about you? You just need to pray and say, you know what, Lord? I just don't share it. I just don't see the importance of it. Lord, forgive me. What about you standing there? Do you know that you have a relationship with the God through Jesus Christ our Lord? Do you know that? If you don't have that relationship, you can say right now, you can say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I'm asking you into my heart. I repent for my sin. I receive Jesus' payment for my sin. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If you pray that prayer, God will come into your heart. But if you do, you're going to let somebody know it. What about a contagious heart? Are you a contagious person? People just want to be around you. Are you Debbie Downer or Mr. Negative? What about you? What's God saying to you? People need the Lord. Forrest, you and Diana, come forward. People need the Lord. Amen. Went over to Forrest and Diana's house this week, and they both shared their testimony with me and said, Listen, they said, we don't understand because a lot of churches you go to, they open the doors of the church. And that's a great question for me to use it. They open the doors of the church at the end of the service and anybody that wants to join can join. We don't do that here. Why? Because I feel responsible. Whenever you want to join, you just tell me. And I'll come to your house. Why? I want to make sure you have a relationship with Jesus Christ before you join the church. That's the most important thing. you share your testimony with me, you know what? That's when it's time that we open the doors. Why? I feel like that's my responsibility, and I'll stand before the Lord one day and give an account for people that are here that maybe joined church and didn't know Christ as their personal Savior. Listen, that should never be. But I went over to their house. They welcomed me in. We had a good time. Had to put up the dog a little bit, but no. He loved me too, didn't he? So it took him a minute. It took him he cried, didn't he? But they want to join our church. So what is the pleasure of the church that we have them as members? Amen. All those in favor, raise your hand. We won't recognize the other, okay? So listen, you give them the right hand of fellowship, okay? They'll go back and give them the right hand of fellowship. Lee, pray for us, please.